Praise the Lord, Brother J. Peters. Praise God. Give him some love this morning.
Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on. Lift him up tonight. You didn't come to see me, but we come to... Hallelujah. You can take your seats. My assignment tonight is very simple. Glory to God. I've been preaching in revival mode for a while now. But I want to give you some scriptures tonight. And we have my brother-in-law, Pastor Henderson, is going to come. And then Evangelist Shelby is going to put the icing on the cake. Come on, somebody. I love these brothers. The Bible says that we have passed from darkness to light because we love the brethren. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to minister and you say that you're saved, if you're not loving people, then you need to get out the business. Come on, somebody. Because this is a people's business. And with all their issues and with all the drama, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This is a people business. And if you don't love people, glory to God. Hallelujah. You're in trouble. But those of you that have your Bibles, they're going to be putting some scriptures up on the screen. And I just want to minister. I don't know about you. I know Pastor Bill, so many times when we talk, you talk about how the Lord wakes you up at night. And I don't get a lot of sleep at night. Most of my consecration dedication is 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I woke up one night at 1:30, stayed up all night. I read scriptures. I study. And how many know that God is doing something in the body of Christ? I said, how many know that God is doing something in the body of Christ? And I know in this region, in this area, that the devil don't want us to get together, but the devil is a liar. Come on. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, I see it. Arise out of the dead. And the Bible said Christ will give you life. But I want us to read out of Acts, the 3rd chapter, 19th to the 21st verse. I started on that this morning. Glory to God. And I told the church, I'm stirred up. I said, I'm stirred up. I said, I'm stirred up. I'm worse than a hornet's nest and a picket fence. Don't poke the wolf's nest, glory to God, because I'm stirred up about Jesus. Jesus said something. He told the disciples to look up that the fields were white. And he said, there's a harvest out there. The harvest is plenty, but there's a labor strike. Come on. The laborers are few. And this is what he said. He said, pray unto the Father that he might send laborers into the harvest, that he might send. Because he calls, he qualifies, and then he sends. And we just don't need people out there to get an offering or people trying to have fame or people to see how many members that they have. We need people that love God. We need ministers that will go forth to see people can get off a crack and get off. Y'all not saying nothing tonight. People have issues. The woman with the issue of blood, she had issues. Ours might not be blood, but everybody have issues. And she got down on... I guess I need to say this. Forget those scriptures. She got down on all fours and made her way to Jesus. Now watch this. She said when she heard about Jesus, a lot of people are not coming because they're not hearing. And she made her way behind in the press. And I've heard ministers say that she humbled herself and crawled because it was not that. We must remember that Jesus is walking with Jairus, the high priest. And he's going to his house to cover his daughter. And she knew because of Jairus that she was declared unclean. By law, Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. Grace hadn't come. But this is something that captures my mind, and I believe it will bless you tonight, that she got past religion. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. She got past the Levitical laws. And she rests down to the depth of her soul. And she said within herself, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, Lord have mercy. She didn't say nobody else, but I'll be made whole. And Brother Bill, she came behind in the press because she did not want to see J.R. to see us. Because J.R. could have had her killed, could have had her stoned by law. But she didn't care nothing about protocol. I mean, it's time for us to get past protocol. It's time for the church to get past isms and what we think order is and let God have his way. Can you give him praise right there? Just let God have his way. Hallelujah. And the Bible says she came up behind the press, Brother Bill, and she touched the hem of his garment. And Peter, after he saw what Jesus said, he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter, he kind of smart out the mouth. That's what God likes, smart mouth people, because that's who we use. They don't mind speaking. Isn't that right, Evander Shelby? But he's an auctioneer, and he know how to rattle them scriptures off so fast, you have to put your recorder on. Come on, somebody. But he's a man of God. I said, he's a man of God. I said, he's a man of God. Did God have called for times like this? She came behind in the press, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you see this throng, this massive crowd of people, and you're talking about who touched me." But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a special touch that Jesus sees and he feels. This touch was different from the crowd. This was not the fishes and loaves touch. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Why? Because he said, "I felt a virtue leave my body." And you know what she did? She knew that she could have been stoned. She knew she could have been killed. She knew that her demise was at hand through Jairus, the high priest. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And at first she hid herself, like some of us do when we get saved. But after a while, there was a fire burning down on the inside. After a while, there was something that rose up in her spirit, and she began to confess and say, "Lord, it's me." And this is what he said that captures my attention. This goes beyond all our churchism. He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you have faith tonight to be made whole? I'm going to read that scripture about restitution and repentance. It talks about restoration and restitution. Restoration is when things are brought back to you. When things are given back, it's put back in the proper place. It's brought back in the proper position. And then the restitution is when God pays. Come on, somebody. And the Lord began to deal with me this morning about Proverbs 6 and 31. And I know it's about a thief breaking into a house. But he says that the thief cometh to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10:10. And the Lord said, when that thief breaks in, Evander Shelby, and he's found out. Well, we know who the thief is. Come on, somebody. And he's been found out that he has to restore sevenfold. I say he has to restore sevenfold. And the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, "I'm going to restore the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm, come on, somebody, and the caterpillar have eaten." It's time for a refreshing, glory to God. It's time for a renewal. We cannot no longer sit in the pews and be passive. We got to get on fire for Jesus. There's a fire down on the inside. Hallelujah. I said, there's a fire down on the inside. There's a fire down on the inside that cannot be shut down. Hallelujah. We're going beyond religion and reaching out to souls. And I believe in this region, glory to God, as God is going to set forth a president that you have never seen before. They're not going to come in like they used to. We used to invite them to church and come to see this, but we have to go out in the fields, glory to God. We're going to have to tell them about Jesus if they come here or not, that they can know him in the pardon of their sins when they leave this earth. Do y'all believe that tonight? Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord, come on, stand on your feet, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not be weary. This is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. Come on, somebody. How bad do you want it tonight? How mad do you want it tonight? It's not up to Evander Shelby. It's not up to Pastor Henderson. It's not up to me. It's up to you. Thy faith. Come on. How bad do you want it tonight? Are you going to leave here the same as you came? Are you going to reach out tonight by faith and receive what God has for you? For he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Somebody ought to shout right there. Somebody ought to give him praise right there. Somebody ought to give him glory right there. Hallelujah. He's able. He's able tonight. We don't serve a weak, watered down God. We serve a God with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. Give him praise tonight. Give him glory tonight. Magnify the Lord tonight. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Just get up there and tear it up. Hallelujah. Hey, just before good. Hey, Bishop, you own to it. How many of you believe that God knows everything. You believe that? You believe God knows? So do you believe he sees everything? You believe he hears everything? I want to ask Pastor Bill to share with you what he shared with me. Is that all right? Yes. Pastor Bill, can you share with them what you shared with me? Now, the last time I seen Pastor Bill was long time ago, right? Okay.
I had written here on my notes to speak about a few moments about Paul, how God had anointed him with the power to be released through handkerchiefs. And then that handkerchief would release power into whoever it was laid on. But I didn't do that tonight. I just thought I'd said enough and sit down. I believe he stepped right into the divine order of God tonight. If we would learn to follow the Spirit of God, he's the only one can do the work. And then he said what he said.
Come on, give God praise. I said, come on, give God praise. I said, come on, give God praise. I said, come on and give him praise. I said, come on, give him praise. Now, see, this is ought to be confirmation to you that God wants to do something for Sister Peggy. Huh? I said, because God want to do something. I haven't spoken with him. Haven't spoken to Pastor Shelby. But God put that in my heart. And so, I just obeyed. Listen to me. What I heard. Listen to me. Go ahead and put that scripture up tonight. Go ahead and put up John chapter 5. I want you all to hear me. If you're going to walk with God, you got to go by what you hear God say. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Will you agree? Many times we don't get to where we supposed to be, or he can't get what we are needing from him. It's because we're waiting to see something and not hear something. I'm going to help you if you allow me to help you. We have been preaching and teaching on faith. I don't know how long we've been teaching on it and preaching on it. Everything in regards to God is by faith. It's trusting God that God would do exactly what he said that he would do. I want you to know that I understand the times by which the American church is in. I know the state of it. I got a cough drop in my mouth. I'm going to go ahead and take it out where I can really talk to you, okay? Don't you hear me? And I want you to see this, sister, which I'm so used to looking in the back. So I'm going to look up here, okay? So it said, John chapter 5 and verse 1, it said, after this, I want you to listen to this story. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for a move of the water.
For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, this is what I want you to captivate here. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. My God, my God, my God. 38 years, this guy had an infirmity, and he was there where God was moving. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, come on, somebody. I said, God was moving. An angel showed up and began to move, and people was being healed. It's just like some of us. We are around the move, but we won't get in of the move. And we're wondering, where is God? Oh, come on, I'm going to help you. 38 years. How long are you going to put up with what you are, where you are, with the things you're dealing with? I'm just asking a question. How long are you going to put up with that? How long are you going to put up with it? Watch this. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? I want you to look to your neighbor and ask your neighbor. Neighbor said, don't play with me tonight. Listen to me. I'm going to say something you might make you mad, but you'll be okay after a while. Look here. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but there are some stuff I'm just tired of. That I'm putting up with the devil that God has already provided for me. I said, come on, somebody. You know what? I believe that America is in the greatest position that we can be in, the American church. We are in position of the greatest move of God. And we can say, God is not moving. No, yes, he is moving. I'm telling you something. You just not getting in. I said, you just not get in. You would rather put up with the devil than to get in with God. Watch this. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I read this, I got born again and saved in 1982. When I read this in my early journey of Christianity, I said to myself, why? What God asked a question like that when he said, I know he'd been here a long time. But I come to an understanding of why he asked. Some of us just like the pity party. I wish I had time, hopefully that I get a chance to come back. But I'm telling you, there are three major enemies that the American church is dealing with. The number one enemy is the spirit of apathy. You wanted somebody to feel sorry for you. Come on. You want somebody to feel sorry for you. What the guy said, this is what the guy said. Now, I'm just asking now. I'm just telling you, if somebody was to, I don't care who he is, because he didn't know who Jesus was. And he comes by and he asks you, do you want to be made well? What's the answer to that question? It's not ask the question. answer to the question is not to ask one. Won't nobody put me in? The reason why I'm like the way I am, I didn't grow up with no daddy. My daddy left us when we was little. I wasn't raised up in church. We find every excuse or reason why we are not embracing the will of God for us. And we're wanting us pastors to feel sympathy for you. They don't know what I've been through. No. I don't know what you've been through. But here's what I do know. It's not what you've been through. It's, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be delivered from that thing? Listen to me. Apathy shows up in many forms. One of the forms is self-pity. Another form of it, it opposes the truth. It opposes the truth. The truth of the word of God can be preached, but if you don't embrace it, then nothing happens. I said nothing happens. Salvation can't happen. You did something in regards to having salvation. You believed. You received. And guess what? You became born again. The born again life doesn't stop there. It starts there. And we got to deal with it. There's no way that in this story that God is visiting my house and I'm going to let him pass by and not get what I need. You can't blame the preacher. I say you can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the praise team. It's up to you. And can I say something to you? I'm at a place now where I'm not playing with the devil. Now you sit there and say, you know, man, no. If you believe a lie, you're playing with it. So this guy, he said, nobody will put me in. Everybody get in front of me. But at lunchtime, when you was in school, you was breaking in line. You got in trouble for it. When on your water breaks, you was pushing and you was shoving because you wanted to be first. You wanted to be the first one to bat. You wanted to be the quarterback, and you knew that you was an offensive lineman. I said that in a real nice way. But now, I want you to hear me. You watch what Jesus said. The sick man answered him, sir, I have nobody to put me in the pool. When the water gets stirred up, but while I was coming, somebody, they stepped down and before me. What? You mean the person that was once here, he got his healing and gone. He's not at this place anymore. And then the next time the angel shows up, guess what? Again, he got his healing and gone. And guess what? Time and time and time and time and time and time. Listen to me. I don't believe it takes all day long to deal with the devil. You know why it takes so long dealing with devils at the altar? It's because people are not ready to let them go. They are responding with their emotion response instead of a real response of faith of getting rid of that thing. And that's why you just stay here and just labor and you just wear out the preacher. You wear out the ministry team. No, the devil is 17 lies. We ain't doing that. If you want to be free, you can be free. You don't have to walk around oppressed, broke, busted, and disgusted. Come on. Watch this, and I'm going to sit down. Jesus said to him, Jesus said to him, one word. Say, buddy, your home is not here anymore. Oh, come on, somebody. I say, your home is not here anymore. Rise and walk. And the Bible said he took up his bed and he walked. Jesus ain't putting up with that. We want special types of prayer. No, no, no. We don't need long prayers. Just tell the devil what you want him to do. Boy, it's quiet. We were shouting a while ago when Bishop was up. But do you want to be made whole? That's the question. So, if you come from ministry and he says something like this, just go your way. Well, they didn't pray for me. I didn't get no prophecy. He picked. Listen to me. I'm gonna help you right now. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna give you a shout. Okay, you ready to shout? He picked up what was carrying him. He picked up what was carrying him. No longer can you carry me. I'm going to carry you. If the devil is defeated by Jesus Christ, it's time for us as a body of believers, as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to quit humming the devil around and playing his games and just tell him what we want him to do. Go! In the name of Jesus. No longer can apathy keep us bound. There's no sense in we trying to make you praise God. We got to prime your pump. No, your pump ought to be already primed. I've been with him all week. Come on. It's time for the church to arise. I'm telling you, it's time for you to rise. It's time for you to fulfill the purpose, the plan of God for this house. How? See, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say it because I'm leaving anyway. I'm going to go ahead and say it. See, I know some of you that's not here. You don't like the fact of Pastor Shelby and Amy. I know it. You know how I know it? I know what you've been saying. And you say, how do you know? If I knew it was to bring two handkerchiefs and one of them was going to be for Pastor Bill, I know this too. Oh, I'm finna tell it now. But I come tonight to encourage them, to motivate them, and I want you to know that you all are untouchable. You listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus, know what Jesus told them? Later on, they found out, the Sadducees found out about him. Said, no, who in the world told you that you can take up your pallet? It's the Sabbath. Who told you to do that? I don't know who it was. See, we're waiting on some evangelist to come, some powerful TV evangelist to come. That you know what? Yeah, they are anointed. They are anointed and appointed. God is using them. Let me give you these other two devils. I'm not going to talk about them, but these things you got to deal with. The spirit of apathy. That's one. And the other one is the spirit of familiarity. Some of you all want to be friends. I learned this the hard way. I believe you can be friends. But I don't care if you here are on the golf course and you're with him, he's still pastor. Now, I'm not saying you can't call him by his first name, but I'm saying to tell you, I mean, he don't stand in that office. He don't stand in that office when he's here. He's pastor. It doesn't make any difference where he goes or where you go or where you go with him. He's still pastor. Don't listen to me. Don't become so friendly and you miss out what God has to say through him. You hear what I'm saying? Because you'll miss it. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. Jesus said, you don't have to go there. As Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 13, 50 through 58, it said that, guess what? He couldn't do many miracles there because of unbelief. See, if you get too close to him where you lose the respect of the office, guess what? If you're not careful, you will miss God when God speaks because you think he's speaking as a friend. Now let me sit down. The last one is the spirit of perversion. That's anything goes. That's just anything goes. The devil is a lie. Anything doesn't go. I wish I had a time to deal with all three of these. I'm just telling you, no, that's how the world is. Anything? No, we're not going to accept sin. I accept you, but I'm not accepting your sin. I'm not going to accept your sin. I don't care if you're shacking up with him and her. I'm not going to accept your sin. I accept you and I love you. And I love you out of your sin. We had a guy that's in our church and that we didn't know that he was there. He's not in here, is he? But I'm on Facebook. Hey, now he shared this story with church. I did that for a laugh because y'all need to loosen up a little bit. But anyway, I'm going to say this, Chad, but I'm going to sit down. But anyway, he'd been in our church for over a year. And I got a text from him, and this is what he said. He said, Pastor, I love you, and I appreciate it. I know when it started out like that, I know it's going to be something. They tell you how much they love you and appreciate you. You know, hey, just hold on. Just keep reading. Don't get excited. So he said, you know what? God has been dealing with me through your messages. I can't live in sin any longer. Said, I've been living in sin. I am married. And my family is in a city. It's in another state. And he said, guess what? Everything here, I'm shutting it down. I'm getting out of here and go to my family because I can't live in sin anymore. If you're comfortable living in your sin, you are going to continue to miss the stirring of the water.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if you've noticed a flow tonight. Nobody, y'all didn't talk about what y'all were speaking on, did you?
No, sir.
This morning, Brother Jay basically preached my message from this morning, and I know he didn't hear me preach it because our sound was off on our live today. So I know the Holy Ghost is talking. I know that... Pastor Henderson is hearing the Holy Ghost because the Lord's telling me something just about the same. If you will, throw up 2 Kings chapter 7. And we're going to read the first and continue. We're going to find a little story here that's familiar to some, that's unfamiliar to others. But just as he said, it's time to get up. It's time to get tired of it. It's time to get sick of it. It's time to quit playing games with the devil, and it's time to go to war. You weren't called to be normal. Do you hear me? You weren't called to be underneath the devil's influence, but the devil is underneath your feet. And so I'm going to read pretty quick, try to keep up if you will. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but you shall not eat thereof." Unbelief is going to keep folks from eating of the blessings that God has for his people. Come on. Is any believers tonight? Have we got rid of the unbelief? Faith grows. Amen. I believe all night long the Spirit and these men of God and the worship and everything has been watering your faith so that you're getting primed and you're getting ready to receive what God has. These men may not have believed it, and so the word of God of judgment came, and he said, because you talk ill of me, because you talk ill of this prophecy, you're going to see it, but you're not going to eat of it. I want you to listen to me. If you don't believe tonight, there's going to be people in this house that are healed, and you're going to see it with your eyes. You're going to feel it in your spirit. You're going to sense it in your fingers. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe, other people are going to receive the promise of God while you're sitting there looking at them, wondering why you haven't got what God has for you. So this is your chance. Get your faith up. Get your faith increased. Let's keep going here. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come into the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. I want you to listen to me. Those 4 leprous men were sitting there. I can imagine they were talking about just how hungry they were. Man, when's the last time you ate? I don't know, bub. It's been a few days. I went, what about you? You got anything? No, no, no. I ain't got nothing to eat. There's famine in the land. You know, there ain't no chickens. Ain't no milk. Ain't no beef. There's not even grain. There's not corn. We're just sitting out here on the outside of the city. We ain't welcome in there. We got leprosy. We're unclean. We're unrighteous. We're unholy as far as everybody cares. Nobody, they don't want nothing to do with us. We're just sitting out here waiting around and we're starving. Our belly's growling. Our mind is wondering over where's the food? How are we going to live? How are we going to make it? How are we going to do this? Mama, I'm here to tell you, you may be sitting at home wondering how you're going to pay them bills. Daddy, you may be sitting at home wondering where the next dollar's going to come from. You may have pain in your body. You may have infirmities on your back and on your legs and in your head. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of famine in the land right now. But they got to a point where they said, if we sit where we're at, we're going to die right here. If we go in there, we're going to die in there. Why don't we get a little radical and go outside of the city and go down to the enemy's camp, and at least there, maybe we'll die quick or find a little morsel of food. I've got news for somebody on a Sunday night. If you're hungry enough and desperate enough and aggravated enough, then get your tail up from where you are and quit going around the same merry-go-round and start declaring things and changing things and seeing things different than what they are right now. Speak to that mountain and call forth for it to go into the sea. What you bind on this earth will be bound in the heavens, and it is time to get tired enough, to get hungry enough, to get desperate enough to say, I'm going to make a move. That's where we are. We need revival. Revival in our homes, revival in our minds, revival in our spirit man, revival in our finances. We need revival. We don't need it in the outsides. We don't need it in the streets. We don't need it in the schools. That's called an awakening, church. And an awakening is a byproduct of the church getting a revival. Do you hear me? Well, I wish that things were different. I wish that the world was different. I wish that all this bad stuff that's going on would quit. Well, I've got news for you. It ain't going to stop being bad because you want it to be. It's going to stop being bad when you get up and you take the authority and you become the priest and the king that God's called you to be, and you declare and you set things in order and you take that apostolic mandate and you speak to it and call Lazarus out of the tomb. It's not going to get better if you just lay down and take it, but speak out your voice, move those feet, get in the flow, do what God's called you to do, and declare that it's going to happen. Well, I just don't operate that way. Jesus didn't operate the way you think he did. Huh? Jesus didn't just sit by while hell was going on. Jesus didn't just roll over and take it all. Yeah, he said turn the other cheek, but that's the same Jesus that flipped tables. That's the same Jesus that went into the pits of hell, kicked that gate open and took captivity and led it captive and took back the keys to death, to hell and the grave. He might have died as the lamb, but he rose as the lion, and he's the lion of the tribe of Judah today. And the Bible says that since the days of John the Baptist, that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You say, well, I'm too weak, I'm too frail, I ain't got the ability to do this, I don't have the resources, I don't have the talent, I don't have that anointing. You don't know what you've got until you step out and do it. Peter couldn't walk on the water, but when God called him out of the boat, we forget that the brother walked on water. You say, I can't heal the sick. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost that's in you can. I can't raise the dead. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost that's in you can. I can't get somebody saved. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost that's in you can. I can't do this. I can't do that. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. It's not going to come leaning on the arm of flesh or doing it in the natural. But when we trust and when we obey and when we say, why sit we here until we die? I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm going to eat. I'm going to get fresh raiment. I'm going to get the gold and the silver. I ain't going to read it because we don't have time, but if you read the rest of that story, they rolled up in there and they found food, they found garments, they found silver and gold and donkeys and camels and all the riches of the enemy's army. Brother Bill said it this morning, we've got to shift our thinking. We don't have to go down and run the devil off. We've just got to go down and pick up the spoils. The devil is not waiting on you to show up to run him off. Your daddy already defeated him 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, and greater is he that's within you than he that's within this world. Do like David did. I don't come at you with a sword or with a spear or with any bombs or any guns, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord God of hosts, and he's my daddy, he's my victor, he's my provider. But you got to get to the point. Well, you say, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. What do you think Bartimaeus did? You think Bartimaeus was happy? Blind? Broke? They didn't have welfare. Going back to what you said a little bit ago. I was in a meeting. This big old woman had oxygen, sitting in a wheelchair, broke down, couldn't hardly get in and out. There night after night after night, we've seen people healed left and right. Folks delivered from all manners of diseases, cancers falling off people, deaf ears coming open, things happening just wild. And I figured she couldn't get up, and get down there because she was so out of shape and so unhealthy. And I thought, you know what? I was thinking the pool of Bethesda. Like, you know, she can't get down to the pool, so I was going to be like Jesus and go down there and, you know, lay hands on her and get her up out the chair and see her just get delivered and all the COPD and all the asthma and all whatever was wrong with her lungs just get melted away. I thought, ooh, I felt it. I felt, you know, in the flesh. I thought, man, I'm going to go down here and see a big old miracle, literally. A big miracle for a big old gal. Went down there, I said, ma'am, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you tonight. She said, oh, no, don't pray for me. I said, what? I said, I believe God's going to heal you. She said, I don't want no healing. I said, what do you mean? She said, I got money. I get disability every month. She said, my bills are paid. I've got every kind of thing. She said, if I lost out that, I don't know what I would do. I'm here to tell you, if God can heal you, God can pay your bills. If God can deliver you, God can give you a future. If God can bring you out of that junk, God can set your feet on a rock to stay. We got to trust in the Lord to say, I'm sick of it, whether it cost me something or not. I'm going to lay down these ashes and pick up some beauty. I'm going to lay down this fear and take on some boldness. It may cost me everything that I have, but I've got something greater on the other side of this than what I have right now. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm hungry. I'm starving. I'm ready. I'm desiring. Some of you mamas need to get sick of them babies being ignorant acting. Some of you daddies need to get sick of them sons and daughters running and acting stupid. Some of you need to get tired of your mind being the way that it is. Come on now. Some of you need to get so sick of the way you talk that you just want to cut your tongue out. Some of you need to get to the point that you're tired of waking up and wanting to look at something on your phone instead of talking to Jesus first thing in the morning. Some of y'all need to get tired of just coming in and sitting down and not feeling the presence of God. I'm here to tell you, he's here all the time. Are you willing and are you ready? Are you tired of what you're dealing with and what you're going through? The reason that we put up with the stuff that we put up with is because we ain't got tired enough to kick it out. Destroy yokes, remove burdens, set captives free, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. All that, praise God, he wants to do it if you're willing. The vessel is what's needed. The oil is being poured out. He's saying, do you have a vessel? He's saying, are you ready? Are you sick of it? Are you tired of it? Are you ready to get out of this muck and this mire and get right? Tell me if you'll come. Praise the Lord. Tonight, if you say, y'all have heard it. Y'all ain't no need me saying nothing else. If you say, Brother Shelby, I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I'm aggravated about it. I'm ready to get out of this mess. I'm done. Why sit we here until we die? Quit pity partying around. Quit whining about it. Quit talking about it. And put it in the hands of the Master, the one that can fix it. Jesus is a fix-it man. I love what he said. Don't go whining to the pastor. I wish I could heal everybody and save everybody and do everything. I'd run around like a wild man. But Jesus is the one that can do it. Give it to him and let give up and let Jesus take over. Anybody sick in this place? Anybody tired of it? Anybody just aggravated at the devil and aggravated at yourself? Maybe you're just frustrated with your own self. Well, it's time to quit being the keynote speaker at your pity party. It's time to quit feeding in to the lies of the devil. And you start saying, greater is he that's within me than he that's within this world. You start saying, I'm an overcomer. You start saying, I'm the head and not the tail. You start saying, I'm above and not beneath. I'm going to come out of this stuff. I've got strength that's supernatural. I've got power that's supernatural. I've got joy that's supernatural. I've got peace that's supernatural. I'm not depressed no more. I've got a God that'll save me. I'm not anxious anymore. I've got a God that'll deliver me. I'm not sick anymore. I've got a God that'll heal me. I'm not broken anymore. I've got a God that'll fix me. I'm sick of it. I'm done with it. And I'm ready for what God's going to do in my life. If I got anybody in the place that says I'm ready for God to do it, I just want you to stand up where you're at. I want you to get off of that seat where you're at. And I want you to do what Brother Henderson said. Carry that thing, what's been carrying you down here to this altar, and put it down and never pick it up again. Come find a place quickly. Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. I need my men of God, my women of God, that are hungry and thirsty to see a change happen. It's revival. It's a shifting season. It's a time that we're going out of the wilderness and we're coming in to the promised land. Come on, come on, come on. If you have a need in your body, you need to be healed. Let's get it set free from that infirmity. If you need something in your mind done, let's get the peace and the love and the joy all in this place. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, come on, come on. Anybody else? We're going to leave these altars open for just a moment more. Then we're going to shift and we're going to change some things around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Gonna walk out free. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name.
Somebody hang on just a second, Timmy. Somebody in this place, you've had swelling in your legs. It's a lady. Brother Henderson said that he felt it and he saw it in the spirit realm. There's a lady in this place that's been dealing with it. It's down there on the end, brother. Go right down there. Wave at him again. Right there on the, right here. Right there on the very end. Wave him down. You go pray for her. God's going to heal that leg, those legs in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, come on. Let him pray. Let him go. Let him do. But I want you to hear me out. It's time that we start declaring things as though they are, even if they are not. Do you hear me this evening? I want us to stand up and say, I'm sick of it. Come on, say it like it. Say, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this mess. Just call it for what it is. If it's diabetes, I'm sick of these diabetes. If it's heart disease, I'm sick of this heart disease. If it's stress, I'm sick of this stress. Whatever it is, you begin to tell it, it's got to go. Command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Declare that it's going in the name of Jesus. I declare that it's gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Speak it out and let the Spirit of the Lord have his way.
If you walked in sick, you're gonna walk out healed. If you walked in bound, you're gonna walk out free. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Everything can change. If you walked in heavy, you're gonna walk out light. If you walked in weary, you're gonna be alright.
Some of you folks,
just a mention of his name.
I said it this morning. If you want joy, sometimes you gotta pray for somebody else's joy. If you want freedom, sometimes you got to pray for somebody else's freedom. I need some of y'all Holy Ghost-filled men and Holy Ghost-filled women that need something from God to find somebody.